The following essay was originally aired in 2001. You're listening to The Natural World. I'm John Cooney. Journal entry, February 24th, 8:30 a.m. Fern Ridge Wildlife Area, Fisher Butte Unit. A thin crease of pinkish-yellow light seeps from underneath a seam at the eastern edge of the valley's charcoal-gray sky. Thin, scattered rays of light insinuate depth and awaken the possibility of color to an otherwise monochromatic, two-dimensional world. The embrace of winter's dormancy feels steadfast and permanent. Rows of papery corn stalks and decaying black sunflower heads hang motionless in a slow-moving, bitterly cold river of fog. Groups of mallards and other dabbling ducks take advantage of the cover and remain hidden except for their constant chatter. A pair of northern flickers huddles together in the branches of a leafless Oregon ash beside the gravel path at the entrance to the refuge. Their silhouette is difficult to identify at first, as they have fluffed up their feathers to provide insulation against the cold. The woodpeckers are reluctant to leave their post and allow me to get very near before retreating to a more private purchase. The Fern Ridge Dam was constructed in 1941 by the Army Corps of Engineers primarily for flood control. It was the first element of the Willamette Basin Project, which now includes 13 other reservoirs. The dam crosses the Long Tom River 24 miles above its confluence with the Willamette. This area, at the southern end of the project, contains diked impoundments which are flooded in winter and spring. These temporary ponds overwhelm cropland which is managed to provide forage for migrating waterfowl. In the spring, it is also one of the most appealing sites for nesting birds in western Oregon. The flooded prairie on the east side of the path forms a shallow lake with emergent cattails, rushes, and canary grass. A male kingfisher stalks its prey 8 feet above the water from the branch of an ash tree. Its shaggy blue-gray crest shivers as it rotates its outsized head from side to side. Suddenly, it locks in on potential prey and plunges headfirst into the icy water. In an instant, he is in the air again. He returns to his branch, awaiting another opportunity. A singing male red-winged blackbird has attracted a curious female to its trailside perch. This early courtship is disrupted as a rival male from an adjoining territory invades their roost, evoking loud protests and feathery chaos from the other two. Depressions in the trail create annual ponds that attract specific, well-adapted forms of life. A semi-aquatic grass has sent up shoots that articulate precisely at the surface of the water. Red-green blades of grass lay across the pools in dense, showy, parallel rows. This grass is one of the few plants actively growing in the dormant marsh. A common snipe panics and zigzags into new obscurity deeper into the marsh as I approach too closely. Its cryptic coloration and fondness for holding perfectly still make this type of confrontation a common one. Islands of canary grass and mud break up the larger ponds and provide cover for numerous waterfowl. Pintails, American coots, buffleheads, Canada geese, mallards, and northern shovelers all linger in the relative safety of these waters. Piles of stripped bones, accompanied by goose and duck feathers, are commonly encountered along the levee. Ironically, the concentration of water birds in this ideal winter setting also attracts predators. At one end of the ponds, far from the road, dozens of steel-blue tree swallows course over the cold, calm surface animating the still marsh. The relative warmth of the water and the insect life hovering above the ponds attracts these first migrants. Should they survive the cold, their early arrival will help ensure success in finding territory and nesting cavities critical for breeding. Amphibians are on the move this month. Watch for rough-skinned newts, Pacific giant salamanders, red-legged frogs, and other amphibians as they cross fields, lawns, roads, and paths to find appropriate ponds and other still bodies of water to lay their eggs. Look just below the surface of the water at wetlands for clusters of eggs. A close inspection will reveal the embryo developing and often moving in the transparent egg. If you have sightings or events you would like to report or suggestions of areas you would like to see profiled, you can send me email at John Cooney, that's John with an H, C-O-O-N-E-Y at MSN.com.